Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd, and it is 1:34 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock. The primary elections are next month, and with Wrangell being in District 1, along with Ketchikan, Saxman, Kaufman Cove, Metlakatla, and other communities in southern southeast Alaska, we have with us today Grant Echohawk, who is running as a nonpartisan for the Alaska House of Representatives in District 1. He's on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly, and he also is on the Library Advisory Board and the Ketchikan Tribal Business Corporation. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. And since Grant Echohawk is on a Zoom call, he won't be able to hear your question directly, but you can call the station and ask Cindy, who will relay the question to us. Again, the number is 874-2345. Grant, hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for coming in through the Zoom and talking with us today. So how is the campaign going for you so far?
It's been going really great. I've received a ton of support throughout the community. It's been a lot of positive energy. We just had our kickoff event to officially kick off the campaign 2 days ago on Sunday. And I thought it was a great turnout, and folks asked a lot of great engaging questions, and even received different perspectives since then on some of the issues and topics that are important to our community. So it's been great. It's been so far. It's been definitely a scramble with the quick withdrawal of Representative Ortiz, but I think with the folks that have jumped on to help and with their knowledge and experience, I think we're ready to do this. So it feels pretty good.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah, I was going to ask you, it was just 2 days ago, your official kickoff happened, right, in Ketchikan?
Yes. Yes, yeah. It did.
So in your Facebook post, it says that you would discuss your philosophical stance on the role of government. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I think, as I mentioned in my event, I do believe in the institution of government. I think it has plays an important role in our lives. I think that people have lives to live. You have kids to raise. You have events you want to go to. You're working to keep a roof over your head. So I think government plays an important role to ensure that important programs, important services, important legislation is happening to enrich the lives of people as they're going about their lives. And I think that's an important role of government, to enrich everybody's lives and by way of infrastructure, by way of support programs, by way of innovative ways to serve our communities. And then on the flip side, I think that one thing I caution of anybody that's in government or looking to run or is part of a working in that capacity is to make sure that government isn't intruding on people's lives, that people should be able to live the life that they want. And I think that there's lots of really important things that government should be focusing on, like I said, infrastructure and things like that, we should allow people to be able to live the lives that they want without government being too intrusive, without imposing too much upon people's lives, and focusing on the areas where, for prosperity for today and into the future. So those are some of the examples that I spoke at, and kind of philosophically the role of government and ultimately why I believe in the institution.
Great. Thank you so much. So what are some issues that you've heard from communities, that are important to them?
Well, obviously the base student allocation is front of mind for everybody. The community that I live in, Ketchikan, absolutely devastating impact of having to issue what's called the pink slips and not knowing the not getting the budget information from the state, flat funding from the state has really put our over the last several years, not just our own school districts, but school districts around the state into more and more desperate situation. And I think that that our institutions that take care of our children should not be put in these situations, because our children rely on these important institutions, and they offer not only an education but stability, support programs themselves that a lot of our young people really need. So that's really critical that, and I think everybody is going to say that the base student allocation is important, but I do think it's noteworthy to point out that. That we do have a constitution obligation to fulfill that funding, and we need to prioritize that, separate out any reforms we want to do, any other projects that we want to do. We need to separate those out. We need to just get the funding as we're obligated to do so, and not make sure that this funding is tied down in partisan politics or personal projects. Just get the funding into the schools and make sure that our kids have everything that they need. So that's one thing. Housing is another issue. We do have, and not only here in our region, but throughout the state, throughout the country, housing has been a major topic of focus. Not only does it help ensure that people can have a roof over their head and they can afford it, but also it's without a robust housing inventory, it limits our ability to grow our economy. Good businesses and good organizations want to hire people, and sometimes we have to bring people in from down south. And if we don't have a place for them to move to, or it's just too expensive for them to move here, then that slows our economy down as these businesses and organizations can't grow to meet the needs of their customers or clients. And then lastly, well, not lastly, but another really important part of topic is protecting the salmon here in the region, ensuring that the livelihoods of Alaskans, in particular Southeast Alaskans, the area that has been able to prosper and have strong communities that the oceans were able to foster and support. I think maintaining that's really important, and making sure there's a good balance between industry, protecting the salmon, and making sure that they are in that the salmon is a stock and a resource that can take care of Alaskans today and generations to come. So there's other topics that I think are important to a lot of folks, but those are some of the things I've been speaking with folks a lot over the last several weeks.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm curious, how would you make sure a good balance is, in effect for the salmon industry and protecting the salmon?
Right. I think that it comes with anything that we want to accomplish and ensure that we have prosperity and we have longevity in industry is making sure that there's strong relationships between the different entities and organizations that are advocating for the different I guess the different aspects of the conversation. So we do have people that their primary focus is protecting the salmon. So they have data and perspective that is important. So it's, as a legislature, I would want to make sure I have that information. And then we have advocates for the various industries. And they have the data and the information that says, okay, this is how our industry helps the region. This is how our industry helps the economy. And understanding all the nuance and the different aspects of that industry, and then being part of a conversation, okay, where is that balance? Where can we ensure that industry grows, industry prospers, but as well our communities can see benefit from the growth of those industries, and our communities and the resources in our communities are managed in a way that's not only prosperous, but something that is available generations into the future. So ultimately, it comes down to robust discourse, dialogue, and be willing to alter my own position based on good, updated information wherever it is, and keeping an open mind and ensuring that decisions are being made and things are being brought forth that are based on good information, good science, good data, and a good balance between industry growth and community prosperity.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Let's go back to housing. So how do you have any possible solutions, to increase housing? We have a housing problem with limited housing, I know for sure here in Wrangell. And how would what solutions have you thought of?
Well, I think one of the things that we've done here in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. So I am on the assembly of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, and one of the things that I think we've done, not only as a body, but also that the borough staff has done an excellent job, is taking a look at potential municipal legislation or ordinances that we can alter to make building on existing lots and building on existing land that's already been developed, make it a little bit easier, be a little bit more flexible, so people can make the most out of the property that they already have. So I think that the last couple of years that has been a priority for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough is we have been able to find some tweaks in different legislation, different ordinances that we're able to implement that just open things up a little bit more and made it a little bit easier. So that's that same spirit, bringing that same spirit into the state legislation of, okay, if we have legislation, if we have things in place, let's take a good look at it and see, are there areas that we can open up and make it easier for developers and particularly municipalities to have the flexibility to help manage the stock that's in their area. I also think that there's an opportunity to speed up state processes in some case, and I'm hesitant to speak too much about that, because until I have a chance to really take a look at those processes, it's hard to say, where we can maybe massage them a little bit to move things along. But there are like land swap proposals that are in place between the municipalities and the state that sometimes months and sometimes even longer to be resolved. And those swaps are really important, because they open up land that the municipalities can use. So things like that, you have to take a look and make sure that all of the processes and all of the systems in place to support our communities are working as efficiently as possible. So those are kind of the two areas that is, take the changes that we've made at the municipal level, see what can be tweaked at the state level, and see where we can open it up and make it easier for development to happen by being a little bit more responsive to communities when requests come in.
Great, thank you. And also, okay, so you mentioned pink slips. There was a pink in Ketchikan. Can you speak about that? I'm unfamiliar.
Yeah. So, how the budgeting works is, if there is a if the school district faces a budget deficit by and it can't be resolved by, I believe, May 17th, then what's basically pinks what referred to as pink slips, or some people refer them as RIFs, are issued by the district to a large amount of district employees, and basically saying that your employment is you're no longer, as of, once you receive this, your employment is considered terminated on the district. Now, the challenge with that is that there could still be funding opportunity from the state and from the municipalities once we know exactly what the state's going to be doing. So once and if the current BSA base student allocation amount is in fact approved and it goes through and the governor signs off on it, then we can bring some of these people back. But in the meantime, we have people in limbo. We have people, it was just, it was it, the my community here in Ketchikan recently had to go through it. It was devastating. It was just horrible. And we had educators, good people that had worked with our children, that in going through this, that were saying, maybe it's time I move on to a different profession. Maybe it's time I look elsewhere. And so we did have people leaving the community. These are all important members of our community that have been serving our community. And I think that as a state, we need to hustle to get This funding to these students, get them to the districts as soon as possible. Again, remove all partisan and political initiatives. Just get the funding to these districts as soon as possible, so our communities don't have to go through things like the May 17th here in our community, where it was such a tremendous impact. Ultimately, that's what I was referring to, and it is something that here in the Ketchikan community we recently went through.
Yes, I'm aware now. I remember. Okay, so how, okay, you mentioned, just separating like reforms and all that, but how would you make sure, the schools are adequately funded?
Well, essentially the ask is just over $2,000 increase permanently. I also think that we need to ensure that that amount is that once we lock it in place, that that amount is inflation proofed, so we account for inflation, and so it reduces the likelihood that we're going to be in a flat funding situation in the future, and we just put mechanisms to in place to protect those funds. As far as where we're going to get the money, which is often what it comes down to, I think that that's where it's going to be. There's a lot of places where I think we have opportunity to kind of drive revenue throughout the economy. One of the ways that can help with just kind of a robust economy is making sure that we have support programs and development programs for small businesses and entrepreneurs, and as well looking at any businesses, any large corporations that are doing business in our state, that they are contributing to that success. The state of Alaska has just an extraordinarily amount of wealth over the last several generations of gold, oil, timber, fish, furs, minerals, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity to be found in making sure that those resources that do generate so much wealth are making sure that Alaska is getting their fair share of those resources. And when I see that we're struggling to meet our all of our budgetary requirements, and some of those struggles are happening in institutions that serve our children, I get the impression that maybe we're not getting our fair share. So taking a look at that, making sure that again there is a good balance between industry and allowing industry to grow while also ensuring that our communities prosper. And I think that that's taking a close look on where we have an opportunity to generate more revenue without relying on statewide tax programs, or at least kicking over every possible rock before we even have that conversation.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, so earlier this year, you met with KRBD in Ketchikan and said, you filed a letter of intent to run, but then suspended it because of other commitments. So why did you decide to jump back in the race?
Sure, thank you. And those commitments are still there. The one of the my fear was that I would just be stretched too thin, and the kind of the couple of things happened. The first thing was is some of the projects I was working on was starting to go into autopilot. Particularly, we have one of the major projects you mentioned. I'm with the Ketchikan Tribal Business Corporation. We have a major project of opening up a substance use disorder facility here in town. And it was a big heavy lift for a long time, and then we started kind of locking things into place, starting getting agreements in place, zeroing in on a facility, and things were starting to move along. So things kind of slowed down there. Still very much involved, but the lift got a little bit lighter, and then as well a couple other things I was working on where it just. Like I said, my load just got a little bit lighter. So that was the first thing. The second thing is that once I found out that Dan was no longer running, I would say it wasn't easy to kind of back away the first time. I have a passion for public service. I believe in the institution. But once Dan decided, our Representative Ortiz decided that he, is not in the position to continue. It really was just very, very compelling for me to say, okay, well, here's if there's ever an opportunity to at least present my ideas to the voters and see if how I would like to address some of our issues resonate with the voters, then now's as good a time as any, and let's go ahead and jump in and see how it goes. But I do want to stress that the only reason why I've been able to get to the point where I'm at, and I'm able to even get to have a kickoff event, is because I did have folks that reached out and they said, "Hey, you know what? You're a new candidate. If you need any help, I have some experience. I'll be more than happy to help." And I've had people just offer a tremendous amount of help to get things going, and I'm very fortunate, and I'm just extraordinarily grateful that I've had people jumping in to essentially help move this along and to make it work. So it's been definitely a journey, but so far, as far as I've been able to come, it's only because I've had good people helping me out and pulling it all together.
That's great. I feel like it also aligns with what your website says. You mentioned you have a passion for public service, and on your website it says public service is community first focused. So, having people help and then community first focus, it just seems like it aligns. Could you explain what a community first focus means to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, I believe that there's a lot of wealth in our state and in our nation, and it is important to me that because all of that wealth starts with our resources, with the hard work of people out grinding day in and day out. Everybody that's out working, everybody that's out contributing, everybody that's in the public sector or the private sector or the for-profit sector or the not-for-profit sector, everybody's working and everybody's working hard. That's generating wealth. Okay. And it's important to me that that wealth make it into our communities one way or the other, so we can lift up our communities, make sure that we have support programs, make sure that we have counseling programs for children here in Ketchikan. It's an unfortunate reality that close to 10% of our children are homeless. That includes like couch surfing and things like that. And I think it's important that we develop programs to help out our most vulnerable as much as we can. And these programs require money and they require revenue. And it's important to me that we work hard to bring revenue into these programs to lift people up, to make sure they have every resource and program to help them be successful. And because it ultimately, I believe it's the right thing to do. But also, when we have folks that slip through the cracks, and we have folks that later on in life, they, let's say, get involved in crime, or they maybe develop a substance use disorder, or they even end up homeless. As a people, we're still going to support them. We're still going to give them help and programs and resources, but those are generally more costly options. So in addition to, I think, it being just the right thing to do to ensure that our communities are well funded, we have support programs, we have the money to take care of everybody that we need, that upfront investment is more often going to be less expensive in the long run than recovery programs and things like that. So that's ultimately what I believe in when I say community first, is that our decisions and what we're looking at need to start with is this going to benefit our community? Who are the folks that it's going to benefit? How is this going to benefit this decision as a whole? And then is this something that can support our communities generations into the future? And I think that by having that mindset and drafting legislation under those principles, that we not only care for today, but we care for well into the future.
Great, thank you. And lastly, you will be in Wrangell tomorrow, right?
I will be. Yep, I'll be in Wrangell tomorrow. I'll be there for let's see, for 3 days. And I wasn't gonna be or I planned on getting a booth together, but with the kickoff and everything else, I decided just to go in and introduce myself to some folks. And then I will be kind of coming back a couple of times in the next few months. Wrangell's a community. I've been there a couple of times, but I wouldn't say I know the community as extraordinarily well. So for anybody that is that sees me out there, I'll be as I'm introducing myself to folks, by all means, I'd love to get any input on the specific needs of Wrangell and making sure that I fully understand what's important to the community.
Great. You'll be here for the festivities, I'm assuming. And
Yes, ma'am.
yeah, how can people spot you?
Well, let's see. That's a great question. I guess I will be probably wearing a gray sun I'm sorry, gray raincoat. I have black hair, and let's see. I'll find something to wear. I will have a name badge. So a friend of mine got me a name badge that has my candidacy information on it. So you'll see me there as well.
Perfect. Thank you. So I really appreciated talking with you. That wraps up this segment of Talk on the Rock. We were talking with Grant Echohawk, who is running for First District House of Representatives here in Alaska. Thank you, Grant.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day.